Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Good Sunday morning to you. Rashini Rajkumar here, along with Dr. David Hilden. You are listening to Healthy Matters, powered by Hennepin Healthcare, and we're going to talk about your heart today. But before we get into that, Dr. Hilden will soon introduce our guest. But Dr. Hilden, this is such an important topic. We all obviously have hearts, but of varying degrees of knowledge about our own hearts.
Exactly, Rashini, and good morning, one and all. I hope you're having a good Sunday morning. We are going to talk about your heart today, and we're going to talk mostly about some of the advanced imaging, in other words, X-rays and the like, that we do to help evaluate your heart. This is something that, 20 years ago, people didn't talk about because there was no such thing. But right now, we have CAT scans, and we have MRIs, and we have stress testing, and the various things like that that allow us, our cardiology experts, and more importantly, and for this topic, our radiology experts, to help us diagnose what may be wrong with your heart. So today we're going to talk about if you get an order for a CT coronary angiogram, what in the heck does that mean? Or your cardiologist wants to get a cardiac MRI. Well, why would they be doing that, and what are they hoping to find? And so we're going to talk to our chair of radiology, Dr. Gopal Punjabi, in just a moment about those topics. I've also asked him if he wouldn't mind just slipping in today a little bit of discussion about what the X-rays look like in COVID-19, because he sees a lot of that. And patients are often asking, well, what does my X-ray look like? Can you diagnose COVID with that? And, what does my CT scan show? And so Dr. Punjabi and his team see this all the time, and nobody knows what COVID looks like on an X-ray more than this guy. And so he's going to come on and talk to us in just a few moments.
Lots of great information. And as always, you can send us a text with our line, our text line, 651-989-9226. We are talking about hearts, cardiac imaging, so lots of questions. And the thing about any topic considering your heart, when we're looking at whether it's a healthy heart, a diseased heart, how to read these images, age really doesn't matter, right? I mean, we could have heart ailments from infant through 99 years old.
Yeah, we sure can. And heart disease remains the leading cause of death in the United States. It is each and every year. So for sure, it's something that older adults think about, and things like heart attacks and heart failure. But people of all ages get heart problems. There are congenital issues in children, And then as you get into a little bit older, especially around this time of infectious things like COVID, you're hearing things like myocarditis. Well, that is an inflammation of the heart that happens even to young adults. And then we get into the big one, which is coronary heart disease or coronary artery disease. And that's what many of us refer to or think of as hardening of the arteries. Indeed, your coronary arteries, which are the blood supply to your heart, those arteries get narrowed. So they can't pass the blood quite as well. A little bit of a factoid. Medicine, you know, we kind of like factoids. I don't even know if that's a real word, but doctors use it all the time.
Oh, we love factoids. You know, patients everywhere love factoids.
Exactly. Little factoids. The coronary stands for, it's from the, I believe, Latin, maybe it's Greek, for corona, which means very kind of germane to our day and age. Corona means crown. And in your heart, your coronary arteries go around the outside of your heart almost like a crown. That's why they're called your coronaries. And because of the age we live in, the coronavirus has little spikes on it that also make it look like a crown. So very creative scientist types have named the arteries to your heart, the crown-like arteries. And the virus we're dealing with, our good buddy COVID-19 virus, is also has a crown-like appearance. So I guess that's the theme for the day, the crown-like things about medicine. And so I will introduce Dr. Punjabi in just a moment. After the break, we'll talk to him. But let me just tell you who he is. He's the chair. In other words, the head guy at the Department of Radiology at Hennepin Healthcare. And in his role, he has shepherded in to our radiology department the most advanced imaging available in the region. He is an expert on coronary CTs, on CAT scans, on MRIs, PET scans, all that stuff, lung CT scanning. This guy is the expert on all of this stuff. And before we even get to him, I just want to say doctors have their own doctors. And when I need to get a question answered, I call Dr. Punjabi. And he is always there with the answer. So he's just a gem of a guy, and we'll be talking to him in just a couple moments.
Yeah, well, he sounds amazing. And maybe one thing we can also do with him is define some of these things. Because I'm looking at this list of all these different scans, and I think most of us don't really know what they are. So maybe we can get into some of the definitions of why a PET scan would be needed over a different kind of scan. I'm sure he has a lot of answers for those kinds of questions, Doc.
Indeed he does. And most of us, and we're even in the era where you get the results of your scans from your healthcare system because you can see your own charts, and what the heck do these mean? So stay tuned. We'll get to that in just a moment.
Stay tuned. You can text us 651-989-9226, and texts are already coming in, so get yours in for Healthy Matters. Getting you dancing this morning, Rashini Rajkumar, Dr. David Hilden with you on Healthy Matters. We're focusing on cardiac imaging today. Text questions are coming in. You can get yours in too, 651-989-9226. But first, Dr. Hilden, I'll let you introduce our guest today.
Thank you, Rashini. Dr. Gopal Punjabi has broad experience in diagnostic radiology and nuclear medicine. Did you guys know there's something called nuclear medicine?
Well,
he does that. We even have a whole department. We say send them over to nuke medicine.
You learn something every week on Healthy Medicine.
Yeah, exactly. So he's an expert on all kinds of imaging. And today we're focusing on mostly your heart, including PET scans, CTs, MRIs, and the like. So I would like to introduce him. Dr. Punjabi, welcome to the show.
Thank you, David.
Great to have you here. You're a repeat guest, Gopal, and so I thank you for doing this on a Sunday morning. Could you help out our listeners and just start up by saying what the very basic difference between what is a CAT scan, what is an MRI? Start with that, please.
Sure, and I really got a chuckle out of factoids, so I'll be trying to drop factoids this morning here.
We can't wait.
A CAT scan, actually more appropriately called CT scan, uses X-ray radiation to get three-dimensional pictures of inside of your body. You just put an X-ray out one end, take a picture on the other end, and it's a donut-shaped machine that you go into. MRI scanner is completely different, does not use any radiation. It's a much bigger machine and usually a tighter kind of bore that you have to go into. And it uses a very, very powerful magnet and radio waves to make images of inside of your body. And you mentioned nuclear medicine. Nuclear medicine is my personal favorite because we actually use radioactivity to image the inside of insides of your body.
You're scaring us there, Dr. P. You use radiation, so do you come out glowing in the dark? What does that mean?
That's a great point. The amounts of radiation we use are so low, and these things have been studied for 100 years now, and we know that this amount of radiation is not going to cause any harm. So it's very, very safe. So long as it's appropriately indicated, I would not hesitate to get any of these tests. If your doctor thinks they're right for you, I would go ahead and proceed.
Yep, I would actually concur with that. I'm only kidding about that. Before we get to my next thought with you, I just want to say that at Hennepin, we have a bunch of these scanners, but the newest one was brought in just recently, couple of years ago, and they were testing out the new MRI. And so they needed a few, let's say, guinea pigs. So I volunteered to do it. So I get a scan from the tip of my head to my toenails, and it was just an absolute lovely experience. You get to listen to music. I think I watched a little picture of my the Seychelles Islands, while I was doing it. And then I walked out of my scan, and I was just a little bit nervous because, gee, what if you found something? I'm just a test subject. What if you actually find something? I walk out of there, and the first person I see is Dr. Punjabi looking at me. And so he got to take a look. So he has seen me literally from the inside out. So you've seen all of my organs, Dr. Punjabi, and I hope you're, and I'm glad to say it was all okay.
It's a different kind of naked, doctors.
It is. There's no privacy in what I do, I'm telling you. Tell us a little bit, Gopal, if you could, about use of these imaging things in the heart. When do you use a CT scan or an MRI for the heart?
Sure. I can tell your audience that you do have a heart.
Good.
So I have firsthand evidence of that.
Is that a factoid, Dr. Punjabi?
Yeah, that he actually saw visual evidence that it's there.
Yes. Some people question it, but I've seen it. So I can reassure them. CT scans have been around for a while. In fact, the first, very first CT scanner installed in the United States was installed at the Mayo Clinic, and I'm told they still have it on display. It was installed back in 71. They have it in a museum down there in Rochester. The CT scanners, when they came in the 70s, were extremely slow, and the trick with the heart is that the heart moves. And I think most people would prefer that their heart moves rather than their heart be still. So with the amount of motion the heart does, getting good images of the heart on CT scans is fairly tricky, and it requires really fast CT scanners. And we've only had really fast CT scanners in the last 10, 12 years or so. And they're really good for looking at the coronary arteries itself. So if you're looking for a narrowing of the coronary artery, or if you're looking for calcification, which is basically scarring, and atherosclerotic disease in your coronary arteries, CAT scans are really good. MRI scanners, likewise, again, we needed fast scanners, and they've been around for about 20, 25 years. We've done cardiac MRI imaging of the heart. That's really good for cardiac muscle. So when you're looking at the muscle itself, MRI is a really good test. So if you're looking for scarring in the muscle, myocarditis, like you talked about, with COVID-19 or with other entities, MRI has just exquisitely sensitive for abnormalities in the heart muscle itself. It's also really good for when you're looking for clots inside the heart and so on. And nuclear medicine tests, your doctors use them mainly as part of a stress test to look to see how the blood supply is to your heart when you, walk on a treadmill and so on.
I've seen all of these images. I want to say pictures, but they are. I've seen all of them, and they're incredibly detailed. So when you have shown me, Gopal, I've been in the dark radiology reading rooms with all the monitors that you guys look at, and you have shown me some pictures of patients' hearts that are in exquisite detail. Are you able then, So why don't we do them for everybody? I guess is what I'm trying to get at. If they're so good, why don't we just go get cardiac MRIs in everybody?
Cardiac MRIs are an hour-long exam inside a little donut that may not be entirely comfortable for everyone. So I wouldn't screen every. The other, actually, that's more than that. It's a great question about screening, and we know that these tests don't work very well in screening situations, except maybe coronary calcium in certain situations. So it doing them on everyone is just going to not give you any yield. You want to make sure you have a good clinical indication to do a test.
Yeah, that's a good point. You brought up something there, coronary calcium. People have heard about calcium scores. Can you tell us what is that? How do you determine what it is? And when might somebody want to know what their score is?
Great question. We've had this around for about 15, 20 years now, where we do a scan of your heart. We don't give you dye for this kind of scan. We just lay you down, put a little EKG leads on your chest and scan your heart. And we look at the amount of calcium that is in your coronary arteries. And there's a mathematical formula and we get a calcium score. The higher the calcium score is, the more calcium you have in your heart. One little note that may be relevant to your listeners, most insurers don't cover for it. So at Hennepin, we charge over-the-counter $99 for a calcium score. And I think that's pretty much the price for most people that I know in town. The utility of calcium score is in giving you a numerical value that kind of looks at your cardiovascular risk, so your future likelihood of having a bad cardiac event is kind of a broad indicator with the calcium score. So a great use for the calcium score is someone who, if your doctor thinks, is kind of not sure whether they should start you on cholesterol-lowering drugs, kind of thinking about it. Your risk is intermediate. You know, it's if it's high, you should probably be on cholesterol-lowering drugs. If it's low, you don't need them. But it's in the middle risk group. That's where calcium score can make a big difference. And that's when, if you see if you have a calcium score that is significant, then your doctor will probably start you on cholesterol-lowering drugs.
All right. Well, $99, I think, is a really good investment in yourself just to find out what that score is. All right, we need to take a break. More with Dr. Punjabi and Dr. Hilden on Healthy Matters when we return. Text us your question, 651-989-9226. We are back. Dr. David Hilden, Rashini Rajkumar, and our special guest today, Dr. Gopal Punjabi. He is the head guy when it comes to radiology at Hennepin Healthcare. The doctors are answering your questions today. 651-989-9226 is our text line. There are a lot of texts. I want to go to this one first, doctors, because it involves a 13-year-old. This person says, my grandson just turned 13. He was all set to get his COVID vaccine, but his mom was told by the pediatrician that boys that age are occasionally having some heart inflammation. CJ from Champlin goes on to say they decided against it for now. What are your thoughts?
Well, I'd love to get your thoughts on the imaging for myocarditis, Gopal. I'll just say that there was a little bit of a concern after the vaccines about kids getting myocarditis, and that did indeed happen in a couple, I don't want to say a couple, but a handful of young adults and adolescents. However, COVID itself leads to far more common heart issues. So I'm going to pass it to you, Dr. Punjabi. Tell us, what does myocarditis look like on your scans, and are you seeing any of that?
Sure. So the best way to look for myocarditis on scans is through MRI. And when we do MRIs of the heart for myocarditis, we see increased fluid in the heart and increased scarring in the heart. And MRIs are really exquisitely sensitive for myocarditis. So far, I have not seen a single case of myocarditis from COVID-19. We do see myocarditis on and off, but I have not, or from vaccination. Either of those. I have not seen those yet at Hennepin. And, looking at the literature, it seems like the risk is very low. And I'll just tell you, my son is turning 12 in a handful of days, and he's going to get the COVID shot on his birthday.
I second that, and I'm so glad to hear that, Gopal, that you and your physician wife, I happen to know Dr. Punjabi's wife, who is also a physician, and they are having their son get their vaccine right away as soon as he's eligible. So I think these are the risks of getting COVID and the risks of passing it around, CJ and Champlin, are much higher. So I would encourage your grandson to get the shot as well.
All right, let's go back to our text lines. This person says, I'm a 67-year-old male, morbidly obese at 320 pounds. I will be having my annual physical exam tomorrow. Do I need to ask my doctor for any special tests on my heart?
I'll again give it a first crack at that one. You don't probably need any special tests if you're just having an annual physical, but you need to attend to the basics. The first one in this person would be make sure your blood pressure is under control. The second thing, make sure your cholesterol is under control. The third thing is make sure that you are at least doing what you can about your weight. Don't feel bad. It's not a character flaw. It's nothing wrong with you, but it is a health risk factor to be carrying all that extra weight. So work on whatever you can to try to drop some of that weight. I don't think you need any special tests of your heart right now.
There's one thing I would add to that, Dr. Hilden, and that is that if you're a smoker, then you need to talk to your doctor about lung cancer screening CT, which has got nothing to do with your heart. It's got to do with your lungs, but that's one test that you might want to talk about if you're a smoker.
Yeah, that's a really good point. We don't routinely check for lung cancer in people, but there are groups of people that we do. If you are a smoker or a recent former smoker, if you smoked when you were 20, that might be a different story, but and you're 70 now. But if you're a smoker or a recent former smoker, you should be looking for lung cancer, and that is a quick and easy CT scan as well.
Okay. We have lots of different kinds of heart questions today. This person says, I have borderline cholesterol on 10 milligrams of Lipitor, never had a heart attack. Do I need to take a baby aspirin?
Probably not. We don't prescribe baby aspirins as much as we used to. If you've already had a heart attack, yes, definitely, you should be on an aspirin. If you have not had a heart attack, then it's a small group of people who need it, and those are people in your 50s, maybe if you're in your 60s, and if you have some other risk factors. So certainly talk to your doctor about that.
I love this question. I'm sure a lot of people can relate. My doctor ordered a stress test for me. I was not under stress, just laid on a table. What did it show for results? They just said all was normal.
All right. How do you have a stress test if you're just lying there on the table, Gopal?
You know, that's a really great question. We can use multiple pharmaceuticals to stress your heart. So, you know, the commonly performed stress test is they have you run on a treadmill, but we can also use medications like adenosine and dobutamine, and there's a few others that we can use to kind of stress your heart and have more or less the same effect.
Yeah, so not everybody can hoof it on a treadmill. A lot of us can, but not everybody can. And so there are brilliant people have come up with ways to make basically trick your heart into thinking it's exercising even when it's just lying there. Now, that brings up all kinds of questions. I wish I could exercise with just lying on the couch watching the Olympics, but I can't do that, unfortunately. But there are ways to do it if you're not able to walk on a treadmill.
You could maybe sort of do some toe lifts.
There you go, Rashini. I think that's what that'll be my excuse. No, really, I've been watching world-class athletes constantly. I watched this Molly Seidel from Wisconsin just take bronze in the marathon on only her third marathon, and I'm thinking, I'm watching it from my couch. I got to get back running. That was the first thing I thought of.
Yeah, very, very inspirational. All right, more questions coming in. You can get yours in, too. Text us, 651-989-9226. This listener says, how long can you expect to see continued radiation-induced echogenic plaque buildup in the carotid artery after treatment for head and neck cancer?
Gopal, I'm sending that right to you.
That's a very, very specific question. And actually, you know, I want to be careful about how I answer it because I don't have all the expertise to answer that question. But there are studies that show that radiation for head and neck cancer can induce your arteries to form plaque. But how long you can expect, David, that is beyond my knowledge.
Well, if it's beyond yours, it's well beyond mine as well. So thanks for giving a crack at it anyway.
All right. This person asks, what is the best way to regularly monitor a patient with known CAD?
CAD is coronary artery disease, and those are the narrowing of your arteries. The medical term is atherosclerosis. And the best way to monitor you if you already have that is, number one, monitor your symptoms. You have any chest pain? Number two, keep your blood pressure under control. I can't emphasize that enough. I don't care how many medications it takes. Keep your blood pressure under control. Number three, keep your cholesterol under control, preferably less than your LDL bad cholesterol, less than 100, preferably 70. So keep your LDL bad cholesterol as low as you can, and yes, that will almost always require a medication if you already have coronary disease. If you've had a heart attack, you might want to consider a baby aspirin, but and if you haven't had a heart attack already, then talk to your doctor. And then tell your family members, make sure that they're getting checked for their hearts as well. You don't need routine over and over imaging. You don't need those things.
Dr. Punjabi, this person is wondering if you've heard of heart flow analysis.
You know, I have not, but there is a lot about the heart that I have not heard about because it's just so complex and so many new things are coming all the time. We try to keep up, but there's constantly new things coming up.
Really, the key, though, to having someone like you on someone's medical team is that you also know how to find the answer. So even the things that you may not have heard of or they're new technologies, at least you have the expertise to ask the right questions and find out, more information than a layperson is going to have for sure. All right. This person is asking, what causes calcification in the coronary arteries?
That is a really good question. The thought process is that you have plaque being laid down in the heart, and the plaque tends to be unstable and will sometimes bleed or get inflamed or will break up, and that results in fibrosis or scarring. And essentially, the best way to think about it is it's the body trying to heal where the plaque is, and that results in laying of calcium. And over time, that may increase if not treated.
All right. Good to know. Lots of texts are coming in. We have one more segment after this break coming up, so get your questions in. 651-989-9226, our cardiac imaging topic today with Dr. Hilden and Dr. Gopal Punjabi, continues after the break. As always, Devin finds the right music for our show. Today we are talking cardiac imaging on Healthy Matters. Our special guest is Dr. Gopal Punjabi, and as always, Dr. Hilden is here. We're taking your text, 651-989-9226. But Dr. Punjabi, I understand you have a little add-on to that heart flow analysis question we got.
Yes. The term that we use is called FFR, CT, or fractional flow reserve. And we can use that do a CT scan and send these images to a couple of private companies that then analyze those images to look for significance of the blockage. We don't offer that at Hennepin as of now, but that's a very promising tool. It actually uses what's called artificial intelligence to try to see how significant the narrowing is, because not all narrowing needs to be fixed.
Got it. Yeah. Well,
I'm worried about artificial. Oh, go ahead.
So that HeartFlow is a private company that provides the service.
Got it. I'm worried about artificial intelligence. That might replace you and me there, Gopal.
it's not happening anytime soon. The one thing it'll never replace is what we do in terms of communicating with patients, and it's never going to replace that.
Well, that is good to hear. All right, this listener says, why don't insurance companies recognize the heart calcium test benefits and pay for all or some of it?
I wish I knew the answer to that.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it's such a great prevention measure. They'd save thousands, if not millions, across the board if they supported a test like that.
Yes, and I should be careful. I haven't checked lately, but I think some insurance companies probably cover and some insurance companies don't. It's probably all over the map.
Yeah, and maybe also some, you know, people who have flex spending and can spend it on their medical bills. Maybe something like that could take care of it. All right, this person says, my dad cannot do a stress test because of his knee. So what would be the equivalent, or is there not a test to do the same thing?
We can certainly do a pharmaceutical stress test. So we can do a stress echo or a stress nuclear medicine exam with dobutamine or adenosine. Some places in town can also do a stress MRI where you do the same thing except in a magnet.
Okay, we have about 3 minutes left with Dr. Punjabi. Get in your question, 651-989-9226. This person says, I had bypass surgery 4 years ago. Would it make sense to have that calcium scan to see how things look?
Probably not. The calcium scan does not tell us anything about your grafts being open or not being open. It's really a good estimator of general risk, but someone who's had a bypass is already a high-risk person.
Okay. This person says, thank you for your program. Please describe abnormal left ventricular systolic function found on a Lexiscan. I don't know if I'm saying that right.
That might be something I'd have to Google again. But the way we look at function is through echocardiograms primarily. And MRIs are also a great way. MRI is actually the gold standard to look for your left ventricular function, which is the contraction of your heart. With every squeeze, we should have about 50, 55%, 60% of blood coming out of your heart and going into your body. And if it's less than 50%, then we call it abnormal.
Yeah, I do that a great deal in my practice. Now, I'm not a radiologist, but this is called heart failure. And heart failure doesn't mean your heart stopped beating. It's also not the same as a heart attack. It's more that your heart isn't beating strongly enough. So that's what the abnormal left ventricular systolic function means. The big pumping chamber of your heart is beating a little too weakly. What Dr. Punjabi and I are talking about is the Lexi scan, isn't a term we use at Hennepin, but that's what those words mean, and you should be under the care of a cardiologist.
All right, we got about 90 seconds left with Dr. Punjabi. Let's try to fire around through the rest of these texts. This person says, how does echocardiogram compare with CT scan or MRI for heart detailing?
Echocardiogram is really superb for cardiac function and wall motion abnormalities. It's portable. You can do them in the ED. You can do them on the bedside. And does not use any radiation, does not use any dye that could affect your kidney. So it has a lot of advantages.
Okay. What causes and cure for stenosis of the main valve?
I'm sorry, I did not get that.
Maybe I'll take that one, though, Paul. There are four valves in your heart. I don't know if anyone's the main valve, but I'll bet they're talking about your aortic valve. If you have failure of aortic valve, if it's stenotic or not opening up, you need to talk to a cardiac surgeon. The only treatment for that is a new valve or a repaired valve.
Okay. This person says, healthy 77-year-old female with heart fluttering, went through all tests. Nothing showed. Ultrasound actually showed a healthy heart. What might this be?
Sounds to me like atrial flutter or fibrillation, and you can see that on an echocardiogram. And you can just say if your heart is not going too fast, then it can be okay. You can live with that. And so just make sure that your doctor knows about it and is prescribing you the medications to make sure your heart's not going too fast, and that you might also need to be on blood thinners.
All right. Dr. Punjabi, anything real quickly to add to Dr. Hilden's response on that one?
Might want to see an electrophysiologist or an EP specialized cardiologist.
All right. I think we're going to have to wrap it up today. We've been talking to Dr. Gopal Punjabi. He's the chair, meaning he is the top physician at the Department of Radiology at Hennepin Healthcare. Dr. Punjabi, as always, my friend, my colleague, thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me. It's fun.
It's always great to have Dr. Punjabi. He is truly a gem of a person, and I can't recommend him or his department any more highly. There is no better radiology department in the Twin Cities than the one that Dr. Punjabi leads. If you need to get any more information about Hennepin, go to hennepinhealthcare.org, and you can get information about all of our imaging, hennepinhealthcare.org.
You know, the other thing I really like about Dr. Punjabi, and you're this way too, Dr. Hilden, is, you know, we shouldn't expect every doctor to know every answer that we throw at you. And I think you do a great job. He just did a great job of, when he doesn't, you know, speak to it or can't speak to it from his own expertise, he says so. And I think that's an honest doctor that we as patients or prospective patients should always remember. You know, how honest is our doctor being with us when they don't know something? Can they find another resource for us? And that's really a good quality in all doctors.
I agree with that. And not all of my colleagues do that. They say, well, here's what I think. Here's what it is. Well, are you sure? No, I'm not sure. They should say, I don't know. Or here's what I think it is, but I'm not sure. So I agree with you, Rashini. It's a great quality. And Gopal certainly does that.
All right. You can always connect with us on Twitter during the week at Dr. David Hilden, at Rashini R for questions we didn't get to today. Will we be back next Sunday, 7 a.m., same place, same time, with more Healthy Matters. Meantime, make it a really healthy week.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.